Welcome to WHRO's Weekly Edition. I'm Jordan Christie.
And I'm Barry Graham.
We highlight the week's news and stories happening all over Hampton Roads. We have some really interesting stories for you in this week's program. The aircraft carrier USS Bush is en route to the Middle East to join a slew of other vessels in the area as the U.S. tries to take control of the Strait of Hormuz.
I sat down with WHRO's Michelle Hankerson to address lingering questions about the redistricting amendment ahead of next week's special election.
And community leaders on the peninsula held an inaugural environmental justice symposium at Christopher Newport University this week.
Community activists say they can't wait any longer for officials to collect data. With help from the University of Virginia, they set up about 20 air monitors in the area.
It's WHRO's Weekly Edition. Maternal care organizations say the process to fund Virginia's community-based maternal health programs has been slow and unclear. WHRO's Yiching Wang tells us how they're navigating a complicated system.
Several groups in Hampton Roads say they expected funding decisions for the state's perinatal health initiative months ago. They all received rejection notices last week. The $2.5 million program was funded in 2025 to expand care, especially in underserved communities. Stephanie Spencer runs Urban Baby Beginnings, a statewide maternal care nonprofit. She says there was little communication and no clear explanation for denials.
That transparency should have really been happening over the last 10 months. We should not have any notification of what's happening in relation to this funding. Communities deserve to know what's happening.
Lawmakers say the program is still on schedule, with more details expected by July. The Virginia Department of Health declined to comment. Yiching Wang, WHRO News.
Community leaders on the peninsula held an inaugural environmental justice symposium Monday at Christopher Newport University. WHRO's Catherine Hefner brings us more from Newport News.
The event centered around coal dust in Southeast Newport News. Residents in the majority black neighborhood have long complained of the substance coating homes and causing asthma. Attendees went on a bus tour to see the issue. Here's resident and pastor Nathaniel Kurtz.
You'll see the terminal to the right. And so since they're uncovered, blowing into the neighborhood.
Community activists say they can't wait any longer for officials to collect data. With help from the University of Virginia, they set up about 20 air monitors in the area. Malcolm Jones demonstrated one device that captures coal dust outside a home to test for toxic metals like arsenic.
We wanted to leave no room for anyone to say, it's the car traffic, it's this, it's that.
He says it's important to share this data directly with residents, who often don't see results of studies over the years. Catherine Hafner, WHRO News.
Farm workers across Virginia are about to be guaranteed a minimum wage. Michael Pope reports for partner station WVTF.
Ever since Jim Crow, farm owners in Virginia have been able to skirt the minimum wage law and offer their workers lower pay. Now, Governor Abigail Spanberger is signing legislation to put an end to an exclusion that dates back to the 1930s. The bill was introduced by Senator Jennifer Carroll Foy, a Democrat from Prince William County. Poverty wages are an unfortunate reality on some Virginia farms, says Delegate Adele McClure, a Democrat from Arlington.
We have a lot of farmers who are paying fair wages and who are stepping up and making sure that workers are protected. However, we do have some bad actors out there that have really exploited this loophole and this exclusion that we have had in our code.
The Department of Labor and Industry says it will need two more employees to investigate more than 300 claims a year. Michael Pope.
The aircraft carrier USS Bush is off the coast of Africa, making its way to the Middle East. WHRO's Steve Walsh reports the ship joins a slew of others in the area as the U.S. tries to take control of the Strait of Hormuz.
A Navy official confirmed reports that the USS George H.W. Bush and its crew of nearly 5,000 sailors and aviators is not using the traditional route taken by East Coast ships to reach the Middle East. Ships typically go through the Mediterranean and the Suez Canal into the Red Sea. Since the U.S. attacked Iran in late February, most of the focus has been on the Strait of Hormuz. 20% of the world's oil passes through there. The coast of Yemen is another choke point where Houthi rebels backed by Iran have attacked international shipping in the Red Sea. The longer route around Africa avoids the area. Norfolk-based USS Ford remains in the Mediterranean on its potentially record-setting deployment. Steve Walsh, WHRO News.
Some veterans may face a harder time receiving federal food assistance. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act that Congress passed last year toughens work requirements for veterans who apply for SNAP benefits. From Fairbanks, Alaska, Shelby Herbert reports for the American Homefront Project.
Ashley Edgington is the volunteer coordinator for Meals on Wheels in Fairbanks. But on a particularly cold morning, and we're talking negative 30s, she's making the deliveries herself.
You're going to also be driving in immense ice fog today. Just take it slow and steady.
Alaska has some of the highest food prices in America. It's also home to the highest share of veterans. And for many of them, those two facts collide at the checkout line. There are several food insecure veterans on Edgington's delivery list today. But she says, as a group, they can be really hard to reach.
That population specifically, you have to be one of them. You know, I go stock materials at the VFW hall or the VA clinics.
Part of Edgington's job is connecting her food insecure clients with assistance programs they can apply for, like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. But she says that's out of reach for many. Alaska is experiencing an administrative backlog for SNAP applications.
We've had people who perfectly qualify because maybe their income was zero, but you have months and months and months and months of delay.
And there's another barrier on the horizon. Veterans used to be exempt from the program's work requirements, but the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, passed by Congress last year, removes that exemption. Most SNAP recipients, including veterans, will have to work, volunteer, or study at least 80 hours a month, unless they're pregnant, responsible for a dependent child, or have a documented disability. Gina Platanino is the director for SNAP at the Food Research and Action Center, a nonprofit advocacy organization that addresses food insecurity. She says it's already hard for many veterans in need to comply with the new law.
This bill didn't come with a job offer, didn't come with, we'll provide transportation, we'll fly you out, we'll provide broadband, we'll provide a computer, we'll provide the training necessary.
Nationally, about 8% of veterans participate in SNAP, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. While 1 in 5 veterans experience food insecurity, many do not claim those benefits. And Platanino says the able-bodied designation might not account for veterans with disabilities that are harder to see.
There's some of them, depending when they serve, that they do come with certain physical or mental disabilities, and those necessarily are not as easily documented or as easily able for them to be exempted.
Under the new law, people who don't qualify for an exemption can receive SNAP for only 3 months out of a 3-year period. In some states, those 3 months are already expiring for veterans. Congressman Glenn Thompson, a Pennsylvania Republican, chairs the House Committee on Agriculture. At a December meeting, he defended the part of the law that removes work requirement waivers for many veterans.
If you're coming out of the military and you don't have a disability, and I mean, I just find that someone that's going from active duty status to veterans, they want to work.
Back in Fairbanks, Edgington comes to a stop at one of the last homes on her route. It belongs to an elderly veteran and his wife who signed up for Meals on Wheels because the food bank is too far away from them to safely drive on the frozen roads.
They have to drive a 35-mile drive, and the husband's on oxygen, so there's a lot of barriers and layers there.
She says she doesn't know what the future holds with the new law, but she urges veterans facing food insecurity to not give up hope and to reach out to local and regional nonprofits for help. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
Still ahead on Weekly Edition, a new report warns Medicaid cuts could put 10 Virginia hospitals at risk of closing, including one in Emporia, while forcing some remaining hospitals to lose certain services. But first, Virginia Beach holds the first of two public hearings on a $2.9 billion proposed city budget this week. WHRO's John Doucette says it includes a personal property tax credit.
On Wednesday, residents will speak during hearing at the Virginia Beach Convention Center about the proposed spending plan for the coming fiscal year. One element is a recommended personal property tax credit that would offer up to $80 per vehicle. Council members want to include some form of tax relief. The proposal keeps the city's current real estate tax rate in place. Officials have said personal property taxes affect more people. Vice Mayor Rosemary Wilson says council may adjust the proposal, but it reflects their goals.
There's a lot of very positive things about it. It addressed the priorities that the city council set at our retreat. One was to provide tax relief.
Wednesday's hearing starts at 6 p.m. The next is scheduled for April 21st at City Hall. John Doucette, WHRO News.
Governor Abigail Spanberger wants to delay the opening of new retail marijuana locations until next summer. She's also calling for new criminal penalties. WVTF's Michael Pope says it's raising concerns from advocates about recriminalization.
Smoking in public is currently a civil offense punishable with a fine of up to $25. But Chelsea Higgs-Wise at the advocacy group Marijuana Justice says she's worried about the governor's amendment to make that a Class 4 misdemeanor.
That's going to impact people that live in public housing that are not allowed to have legal substances in their home. It's going to impact people with no shelter because where are they supposed to consume? And now we are creating more criminal penalties and therefore more criminals just because people are low income or do not have homes.
Members of the General Assembly who want to reject these new criminal penalties are facing a choice. They can reject her amendments and send back their version of the bill, which is a gamble because she could veto it altogether, or they can attempt a more complicated maneuver to sever individual amendments they don't like and reject those while approving the rest of the bill. Michael Pope.
Governor Abigail Spanberger signed a bill this week that adds the state to the National Popular Vote Compact. Alex Macedo reports for WHRO about the agreement among states to award their presidential electoral votes to the nationwide popular vote winner.
The measure advanced in Virginia after last year's elections gave Democrats full control of the legislature. According to the Pew Research Center, a majority of Americans say they would prefer the winner of the presidential election to be determined by popular vote, not the Electoral College. Now, the total number of states signed onto the Interstate Compact is 18, plus the District of Columbia, for a total of 222 electoral votes. The compact doesn't go into effect, though, until there are enough states signed up to reach the required 270 electoral votes to elect a president. Alex Macedo, WHRO News.
The York James City Williamsburg branch of the NAACP held a town hall this week responding to political ads and mailers for next Tuesday's redistricting vote that civil rights leaders say are misleading. WHRO's Nick McNamara breaks down people's concerns.
Political groups on both sides of the issue have spent millions on ads. Panel members discussed how prevalent TV, online, and mailed ads are employing civil rights imagery to oppose the referendum. Charles Gates, incoming branch president, says,
"It became the 11th hour towards the 21st. And we said someone needs to educate the community. Why not us?"
The ads have drawn outrage from several black leaders who say the campaigns are intentionally deceptive. The referendum's opponents, however, say their appropriate backlash to proposed congressional map changes they say disenfranchise voters through gerrymandering. If successful, the legislature's proposed maps could give the Democratic Party a 10-to-1 split of the Commonwealth's federal representatives. The power to draw maps would return to the bipartisan redistricting commission in 2030. Nick McNamara, WHRO News.
This month's special election for the redistricting amendment is almost here, and voters still have questions. I sat down with WHRO's Michelle Hankerson to get to the bottom of what this vote means for Virginia.
This constitutional amendment that is being voted on Tuesday, there seems to be some confusion about it, but let's go back. And how did we actually get to this point?
Yeah, so the biggest starting point, I think, actually starts with Texas. And Texas is a Republican-led state, has been for a very long time, and Texas wanted to redo their own congressional maps because they wanted to consolidate some of their Republican Party power in Congress. When they said that they wanted to do that, President Donald Trump came out and said, "That's a great idea. I would love for you to do that." And it kind of gained momentum from there. Democratic-led states decided to get in on it as well. Virginia is a Democratic-led state that decided to jump in and say, "We're going to do that too because we have to neutralize what these Republican-led states are doing in Congress."
Let's talk about the Virginia Amendment and exactly what it states. And when you go to vote yes or no on it, what actually are you either accepting or rejecting in that vote?
This amendment is asking voters if they want to accept new congressional districts that have been drawn by legislators off schedule. Here are some maps. Are you okay with them? If you vote yes, that means you're okay with these maps. These are the maps and districts that we're going to vote under in November to elect new congressional representatives. If you vote no, then things stay the same. In November, you will vote in the congressional district that you've always voted in. In 2030, the Independent Redistricting Commission steps back in and will carry on redistricting like it did before.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Once again, the election is this coming Tuesday. And Michelle, great explanation. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Barry. Hopefully everyone who wants to vote gets a chance to do that. And if you're in line at 7, stay in line.
A new state audit found that unclear procedures around intake at the state's mental health care hospitals may put some patients and employees at risk. VPM News' Dean Mirshahi brings us the details.
Virginia's Inspector General reviewed the intake process for the 9 state-run mental health care facilities that take in people in the criminal justice system who are in need of mental health treatment. The Inspector General's audit found Virginia's Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Services lacks clear policies on how these patients are officially transferred into its custody by law enforcement. According to the audit, without a clear process in place, the state faces increased legal risks. Colleen Miller, Executive Director of the Disability Law Center of Virginia, says transferring a patient can create a dangerous situation.
It's a very dangerous moment, and we have seen where the uncertainty around who is in charge at that moment has resulted in the death of individuals with mental illness.
The department says it plans to establish a statewide policy by next year. Dean Mirshahi, VPM News.
Christopher Newport University kicked off its 5th annual Social Justice Conference in Newport News Tuesday. WHRO's Toby Cox was there.
The theme of this year's event is The Future is Now, The Fight is Here. CNU professor and co-organizer of the event, Johnny Finn, says the goal behind the theme is to motivate people to act and collaborate.
The academics talk to a lot of academics, faith-based groups talk to a lot of faith-based groups, organizers talk to organizers, and we're all talking about a lot of the same issues, but we're not talking to each other about the different strengths that we bring to these issues from different perspectives and different positions.
The conference will feature sessions on topics ranging from affordable and fair housing to immigration issues. Finn expects around 450 people to attend the 2-day event. Toby Cox, WHRO News.
A new report warns Medicaid cuts could put 10 Virginia hospitals at risk of closing, including one in Emporia. WHRO's Yiching Wang reports the challenges the hospital could face.
The report from the left-leaning advocacy group Public Citizen flags hospitals where at least 20% of revenue comes from Medicaid or other low-income programs, and where profit margins have been negative in recent years. That includes Bonsecours Southern Virginia Regional Medical Center. If it closes, people in Emporia and its surrounding areas could face drives of anywhere from 40 minutes to more than an hour for hospital care. The report also cites service cuts due to the lower funding at hospitals that are expected to remain open, including the loss of labor and delivery care in Farmville. Yiching Wang, WHRO News.
The Chesapeake Bay Foundation is suing the Trump administration over its rollback of climate pollution protections. WHRO's Catherine Hefner breaks down the lawsuit.
Earlier this year, the federal government repealed the EPA's endangerment finding under the Clean Air Act. The 2009 rule underpinned the country's fight against climate change by stating that greenhouse gas emissions threaten public health and welfare. The repeal also eliminates vehicle emission standards meant to reduce smog and soot from cars. The nonprofit Bay Foundation says the Chesapeake watershed will suffer because it's on the front lines of climate impacts. That includes sea level rise swamping wetlands, warmer waters affecting marine life, and heavier rainfall causing flooding and washing pollutants into the bay. The foundation joined the lawsuit this week with more than a dozen other organizations across the country, including indigenous tribes, community groups, and farming associations. Catherine Hafner, WHRO News.
In Williamsburg, a traveling public art exhibit is bringing people together to make music, not with instruments, but with swings.
The musical swings make the music. Higher motion creates higher pitches. Tones blend and play as people swing together.
The installation will be near the downtown library through May 17th. WHRO's Nick McNamara was at the inaugural Swing By event and filed this audio postcard.
I'm Pat Dent, Vice Mayor of the City of Williamsburg. With us bringing these swings here, we've really set a challenge before us because these have been so successful that it's going to be hard to top. But it really has made a connection with the community. It's brought people together, and it's fun.
It's been a while since I sat on the swings with someone, mostly because I'm an introvert, but also because I guess life has a way of creating so much white noise that one forgets the healing power of harmony.
My name is LaCroix Nixon, also known as Atlas. I am the inaugural poet laureate of Williamsburg, Virginia. Williamsburg, for as much history that is here, there's not enough color that always represents it. And I believe little things like just having public interactive spaces is so necessary, especially in the times that we're living in now. There's so much going on in the world, and there's very few spaces to just sit down, enjoy a nice day, and swing on the swings. It's beautiful to see not just kids, but adults.
Today, we are all human wind chime of conversation, waiting for the breeze to be the next G clef. And in this moment, are we not the music?
My name is Hussein Usaf.
I am an associate professor in Kastamonu University. At the same time, I am a visiting scholar in William & Mary. I am a synesthesia. When I heard some sounds, I can see colors. When I see some color shape, I can hear the melody. And so this is like a big symphony orchestra. There are a lot of different instruments, and say they are doing together wonderful music. And to be part of this music with my painting, it was a great experience for me. I can see the atmosphere, in atmosphere, colorful atmosphere, shapes, and so. And these shapes and atmosphere affected me, my paintings. And when I paint, I don't feel just it's a color, it's just a painting. At some point, I feel voices, sounds, some instrument.
What's your name?
Naya.
What's your favorite thing about these swings today?
They make music.
It's very calming. It's very relaxing. And then we try to get our swings in sync because you can uncover more melodies.
My name's Ann Hunt, and I'm also a member at large of the Arts Council. I think the thing for me is the harmony and peace that you feel when you experience this entire setting. It's a wonderful juxtaposition to what's going on in the world right now, so we feel very fortunate to have this in Williamsburg.
Nick McNamara, WHRO News.
You've been listening to WHRO's Weekly Edition. We had help today from WHRO's Toby Cox, John Doucette, Catherine Hafner, Alex Macedo, Nick McNamara, Steve Walsh, and Yiching Wang.
WVTF's Michael Pope, VPM's Dean Mershahi, and Shelby Herbert with the American Homefront Project. Also, Jordan Christie, who filled in for Connor Worley in producing today's show. A reminder that you can always catch full episodes on the Weekly Edition podcast feed. You can get your news updates at WHRO.org and the WHRO Reports podcast feed. For all of us at WHRO and WHRV, I'm Barry Graham.
And I'm Jordan Christie. Have a great weekend.